Yeah, as I say, Rebecca Huntley will be joining us soon. But I do want to bring you some of your feedback and messages for a conversation from a conversation we had yesterday. We were talking about international students and the difficult time they're having at the moment because they're not entitled to the federal support that's available to Australians who may be in similar situations. And many of them have found their work drying up and also many of them not being able to rely on support from home, either because there was never any in the first place or because their families are also having a hard time in this pandemic. Now, the education market in Australia, the international education market, is Australia's third largest export, we were saying yesterday. And up until January, there was estimates that it was worth up to $40 billion to the Australian economy, a massive sector. So there's lots to this. And we had so many messages. But I want to just play you a person we spoke to called Natasha. And it really gives you an idea of the complexity behind some of the stories that international students have.
For me, being a girl, I am from India. And if you know about it, India is full of restrictions for girls most of the parts. I come from a very small town, and when I decided to come here, half of my family, they were opposing my decision. And also, I used my savings and I took a loan. And if I go back, it's a walk of shame for me. I don't want to get married. I wanted to come here to be independent. And it just matter of 6 months, I'll be completing my degree.
Oh, dear, oh dear. So you've done everything you can to change your destiny. And
yes,
the stakes are very high for you.
I know if I was in India till now, I would have been married by now.
Boy. And not someone that you chose, I suppose, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
And what's the area that you're working in, Natasha?
I'm doing event management because I was always interested in opening my own business. That's why I came here, just to get knowledge and, you know, why you go back to open my business. But I'm just into 6 months. And this is the time when I was about to get my internship and everything, but now there are no jobs left. So I don't know what to do. And also talking about the Prime Minister, I know he's doing well for his country, but most of the economy come from international students. And if we think about long run, after 6 or 7 months when coronavirus won't be here, but international students would never choose Australia as their first preference to come because, you know, when there are some problems having in Australia, they know they are going to be left out. So there's no option left for us to choose Australia again.
Mm-hmm. So that's Natasha pointing out some of the reputational damage that Australia's enormous international education market may be suffering because of the treatment of international students, but also telling us her story. Saved up, got a loan against the wishes of a lot of her family, came to Australia really to get herself a career, but also to avoid an arranged marriage, which she wasn't keen on. So lots at stake for her. She's only got 6 months to go and she's wondering whether she can hang on. Now, here are some of the messages that we had yesterday, and there were just so many, but shouldn't the universities have a duty of care to their students? Surely such places of great knowledge should be able to care for students who've been left in the lurch. All those great minds need to come together and come up with solutions. I think communities around the world and around the universities need to come together to support them as well. Someone else, Danny, says the government wouldn't provide enough funding and forced unis to get overseas students, and now shows little support for one of our largest business sectors, providing more jobs than mining. On the other side, although we need to have compassion, we don't have limitless money, says someone else. And far too many would complain if they don't get tax cuts or pay more tax when we have to start paying back national debt. Somebody else says, how many of these students are from private colleges? And what are the owners of these businesses doing to help? Someone says, if we see international students as purely a business deal, then maybe it's time to take care of our customers. This is Australia, not New Zealand. We don't do compassion. What we do well is short-sightedness and short-term planning. Here's another one that's apologetic. International students in Sydney. My children are lucky enough to be here at university in Sydney, but they or us could not afford for them to study overseas as much as we'd love to. Sydney's an expensive city like London, New York, Oxford or Rome. Only the wealthiest in each country can afford to study overseas. They knew it was an expensive city before they came. There's too much national need here. Sorry. And another along those lines. These students came on their own free will. No one forced them. They weren't asked. It was their decision. The government should be making arrangements to bring them home. The arts industry, says someone else, is bigger than aviation, but no help for them. Maybe we just can't help everyone. And here's a whole bunch that came in all at once. Universities have empty accommodation now. Why can't they accommodate international students? They got them to come here in the first place. Another one, should we be aiming for the well-being of all, every on-earth body should be prepared to take a setback, and we all will. Let's keep all of us safe as we can. Others say, our own PhD students' funding is drying up. They were not previously eligible for Australian student support since it was their second degree. Now there's no casual work available. Some of our own PhDs will never finish their degrees either. Someone says, we just returned from Nepal before the lockdown and we were amazed at the hospitality and kindness extended to us despite them being so disadvantaged compared to us. I know many international students who are struggling not only with economic difficulty but with depression because of their circumstances and the attitudes of many here. So, just so many different thoughts on this, really quite fascinating. But one of the other themes of the feedback was people saying that they had places to offer. I feel for these students. I have a small place in the country, says someone. I'm happy to offer it at no cost. Another person, if I knew how to offer a room, I'd do it in a heartbeat. Yes, I also support the spare room idea, says another. And Laura says, we'd be happy to offer a room to a student, local or overseas, who can't afford rent. Is there somewhere we can contact? Well, actually, we did get quite a number of suggestions for places that do try to match up people who've got a room and people who may be in need of them. One of them is a place called Australian Homestay Network. It's run by the founder and director of it, a guy called David Bycroft. Here he is explaining what it is that Australian Homestay does for people.
The Australian Homestay Network has been providing international students accommodation for over 10 years now. And we've placed over 60,000 international students from 150 countries into homes. So the International Student Support Network has been set up to help find hosts for students who are struggling and hosts who will do it at a discounted rate so we can put them in the safety of a home. Any international student who's needing help should go to their education provider because the education provider is how we're vetting which students need help or not. And then their education provider will make the placement arrangements with the Australian Homestay Network. The Australian Homestay Network is known for conducting the highest standards in homestay, which includes, vetting every host application. We have to do police clearances. We have to go through an online interview at this point. We usually visit the home, but with the isolation, we're doing online interviews. But, we make sure the host and the student are matched as well as we can possibly match them. Otherwise, there could be problems. Anyone who wants to reach out and help us help the international students should just contact the Australian Homestay Network. They can look us up online and there's a special section there for the International Student Support Network. We're really excited about how many people are approaching us wanting to host international students in trouble, and we've also had tremendous responses from the governments of Australia in every state, as well as education providers.
Mm-hmm. So there you go, the Australian Homestay Network, and you can find that online if you might have something to offer, maybe, some space for a temporary setup for somebody who's really doing it tough. And also we were told about a place called Find a Bed. an Australian organisation called Find a Bed, which has been doing this work and was active during the bushfires in helping people find out. So there you go. Interesting that the Fin Review this morning, the Australian Financial Review, is reporting that an expert committee advising the government has suggested that universities wanting to stem financial losses from the loss of these students could fly thousands of international students to Australia under strict quarantine conditions to reboot the international education market. That's an interesting idea. Instead of telling them to come home, to go home, we could ask them to come here, and universities would be paying the airfares. So there you go. It's a long way before that issue resolves itself. Just finally on this,